This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
صحبه ومن ولا نوين تعلم وتعليم ونفر انتفاء وتذكر والتذكير والإفادة والاستفادة والحث على التمسك بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم والدعاء إلى الهدى والدلالة على الخير ابتغاء وجه الله تعالى ومرضات وقربه وثوابه سبحانه وتعالى. So we have reached verse 28 of Surah Yasin, and we left off in the last session in the words of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. قِيلَ دُخُلْ الْجَنَّةِ, it is said to him, enter into paradise. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ كَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ, oh, were that my people to know. بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي, how my Lord has forgiven me, وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ, and made me from amongst the honored. And we talked about how the scholars, many of them said that this is Habib al-Najjar, he's the one that came from that the furthest that part of the city, and to give victory that to the messengers. And then that when he, that preoccupied them with what he was saying, is that their response was, is that they brutally took his life. And after he was martyred and he saw what Allah Ta'ala had in store for those who dedicate their lives to the truth, is that then he said that he wished even then that his people could know what it is that he that was receiving. And then in verse 28, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَى قَوْمِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِنْ جُنْدًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ, after him we did not send any army from heaven against his people, nor were we about to, or nor would we send down. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this happens, is that is about to unleash, he's that because of what happened and the way that they brutally took the life of Habib al-Najjar, is that they deserve the divine wrath. Rasulullah ta'ala as-salama wa al-afiya, and that as a result for that their denial of the prophetic of the messages that were brought to them, and then that this what they did to this individual is that this is what it led to. And that the way that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that says this, that he presents this in a particular way which we will now analyze. But before we do that, we want to look at this word jund in the Arabic language that is translated here as army. And that jund is the basic word that you use for a host, an army, that set of troops. And it comes from the Arabic word janad, which is that type of very hard earth that has rocks in it. So it's a difficult type of earth, ard ghaliza. And as a result that you can that see the meaning of how it relates to an army, is that because people who are in the army have to have that certain toughness and a hardness to them, because their job is to protect and that they might have to go to war. And then it came to be used, this word jund, that is rooted in this meaning of being like hard earth that is very tough, to be used for that the gathering of anything, so that number of people. And so this is why this is the word that is used in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, al-arwahu junudun mujannada, is that the spirits are junud, they are armies in the plural, mujannada, set up in ranks. So on the second form, when you say jannada yujannidu, it's to set the jund in ranks, to set the army in ranks. And so our Prophet is indicating something about the spirits, is that they're like armies set in ranks. You have different divisions, and that division stays together. And likewise, when it comes to the spirit, is that you have certain spirits that were together. And then that manifests here in this world, is that some will feel closer to others than that you feel closer to some people rather than others. The plural of jund is either ajnad or junud. And so we find that Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ جاءتكم جنود فأرسلنا عليهم ريحا وجنودا لم تروها. Is that remember the blessing of Allah upon you. When an army came to you, so here the word junud, فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا, and thus that we sent upon them that a wind, وَجُنُودًا, and an army, لَمْ تَرَوْهَا, that you did not see. And so the commentators say on this, the first junud was an actual army of disbelievers. The second junud was an army in the unseen realm of angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. And so that in this idea of host or army, it could have an outward dimension or it could have an inward dimension. And then we see this word further used in Surah Al-Mudathir when Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. And none know the junood of your Lord except who? Except Him. In other words, is that none truly know the host, the jumu' khalqa, is it how the divisions of His creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from among them are the angels that were previously mentioned. And then we have a very interesting saying of Imam al-Junayd al-Baghdadi, this great Imam who is the great Imam of the science of Tasawwuf. He is the one that codified the science. So we have this great statement of Imam al-Junayd that when he was asked about stories and particular murids, that is people that were taking the spiritual path seriously, and that how should that they view stories, and he responded by saying, Al-Hikayatu Jundun min Junudillahi Ta'ala, is that stories are an army from the armies of Allah Ta'ala. يُقَوِّي بِهَا قُلُوبًا وَرِيدِينَ, whereby which that He strengthens the hearts of those seeking closeness to Allah. And then he was asked, فَهَلْ فِي ذَلِكَ مِنْ شَاهِدٍ, is there any proof of that? And that he responded by saying, نَعَمْ, yes, the words of Allah Ta'ala, وَكُلٌّ نُقُصُّ مَنْ أَنْبَاءِ رُسُلِي مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. And then the words of Allah Ta'ala that say is that in that we tell you the stories of the messengers in order to make your heart firm. But he likens this though to that a jund min junudillah, a host from the host of Allah. And so the angels are from the host of Allah, but Allah says is that only He knows the hosts. No one knows the hosts of your Lord except Him. In other words, that how He wants to that bring about a certain effect, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it's through the angels or, in this case, is it through a story of listening to something of the righteous. And so this is the word that we find in this verse. وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ جُنْدِ. After Him, we did not send any army from heaven against His people. And again, this is in reference to Habib bin Najjar after he was brutally killed. And what this وَمَا كُنَّ مُنزِلِينَ, nor were we about to, or nor would we send down. And that the reason that he is saying it like this, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that it is an indication of how he punished these people. And we know that, according to the tafsir literature, that Allah Ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam, and that he that took the two that edges of the city, and then he that cried out that very loud cry, فَإِذَاهُمْ خَامِدُونَ, which is coming in the next verse, and they fell down lifeless, and that there was not a single spirit left in any of them. And that in this verse, in verse 28, that this is a way of saying is that He punished them in the quickest of ways because of what it is that they did. He didn't even have to send down, subhanahu wa ta'ala, a jund from heaven, a host from heaven. Rather, is that He did it quickly in the way that was described. And in other words, is that almost, in this is a type of belittling the people as a result of how they were punished. But again, they brought this punishment on themselves by the way they treated the apostles or the messengers, by the way they treated this righteous man who came from the outskirts of the city. And when we read these stories, is that the conclusion that we come to is that actions have consequences. And we read them to understand that our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala has names of beauty and he has names of majesty. And what we want is to live in a way whereby which is that he manifests in us in such that we experience his beautiful name, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reality is that when human beings go astray, is that they bring about the divine wrath upon themselves. And we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to protect us. And may he grant us safety, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi that brings up a question. He says, were someone to say, is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that sent down a host on the day of Badr, a host of angels, an army of angels, that help the companions, as we find in Surah Tawbah, وَأَنزَلَ جُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا, and that he sent an army that you did not see. And why then would, how do we understand this? If that in this case that Allah Ta'ala did not send down an army, but we explain what that was, is that why would he send down an army then, in the case of when the Prophet ﷺ was fighting? Because he subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wanted to, could have given him victory without those means. But the conclusion that we come to that is that بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ, the dominion belongs solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does things as he wants to do. He can either that cause things to happen, whereby which he uses a means, and then it leads to a certain effect, or he subhanahu wa ta'ala could that do something directly. That's up to him. So in the Battle of Badr, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending down an army that to assist those that were fighting was there to honor the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was to honor him, tashrifan and ta'zeeman. And so is that this is why that we understand is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most beloved of all to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the people that live their lives solely for his sake is that they have divine assistance, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala subjugates the asbab, the means to them. He subjugates the means to them so that it's there to help them. And that this is also because is that when the means are subjugated to these people is that they will only use them in the very best of ways, which will bring about benefit to people. And when we talk about blessings, and we talk about the ability to do things, and when we talk about whether it be status or wealth or whatever it might be, the key factor that you and I always have to think about is what is going to be of benefit to the people. What is going to be of benefit to the people? That is really the most important thing of all when we think about decisions that we make and how we use our resources, how we use what Allah Ta'ala has gifted us. What is going to be of benefit to the people? And the more benefit that can be brought to someone, the better. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ, nor were we about to. And that this is a way of that expressing subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that وَمَا كُنَّا أَيْتْ مَا كَانَ يَنْبَغِي لَنَا أَن نُنزِلَ لِأَنَّ الْأَمْرَ كَانْ يَتِمْ بِدُونَ ذَلِكَ. It wasn't that a need for us to do that, because that it could be done without that, or not a need, is that it wasn't befitting, because it could be done without that. فَمَا أَنْزَلْنَا وَمَا كُنَّا مُحْتَاجِينَ إِنَّ أَنْزَالَ, that there wasn't a need for us to that do that. Nor would we send down. And then Allah Ta'ala says in verse 29, إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ, it was but one cry, and they fell down lifeless. This word that we first have here, that after the exception, إِلَّا صَيْحَةً, in the Arabic language, صَاحَ يَصِيحُ, Sayhan, wasayahan, wasayahanan. There's three different masdars. It's to that make a that very loud noise. And so a sayha is a cry. It's to raise your voice. And it comes from a word in Arabic that relates to that what is called tashqiq as-sawt. من قولهم إن صاح الخشب أو الثوب إذا انشق فسمع منه الصوت. And it comes from the sound of that a piece of wood breaking, or that someone tearing a piece of cloth. And so that it kind of separating here either that the two pieces of wood or the cloth, and then hearing something that come from that. And it's also used that in relation to the blowing of the horn. In Surah Al-Qaf, as Allah says, يَوْمَ يَسْمَعُونَ السَّيْحَةَ بِالْحَقِّ, on the day that they will hear the cry with truth. And it's also used to that indicate punishment. وَأَخَذَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا السَّيْحَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ, and that the sayha that took those who had oppressed. And so Allah Ta'ala is saying, إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِيْتَةً, it was but one cry. And this is the way that He that willed to punish these people, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the result of it, فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ, and they fell down lifeless. And the word that خَامِدُونَ, خَمَدَ يَخْمُدُ, خَمُودًا, it's the same word that we use if we talk about the flames dying down of a fire. خمدت النار. أي سكن له بها, is that you say that the fire's flames died down. I mean, they weren't of the same intensity, but that there were still hot coals that where the fire was. It's the same word that we use when we talk about someone who is sick. خمدت مريض, that you use this word, that either you would translate that is that he fell unconscious or that they died. And so the idea here is that the life that was in them was taken from them. And this is a very eloquent word, if you can imagine, right, that there being a fire and then all of a sudden that the flame no longer being part of that fire. Their bodies were there, but because they became lifeless, as a result of their souls being taken. And that Ibn Ajiba al-Hassani, that he mentions in his Ishara, a meaning that generalizes this. This particular incident happened to these people who denied those apostles or messengers, and that treated that man in the way that they did. But he gives it a general application. He says, كُلُّ وَعِيدٍ وَرَدَ فِي مُكَذِّبِ الرُّسُلِ, is that every warning that comes in the Qur'an in relation to those who deny the messengers, يَجُرُّ ذَيْلُهُ عَنِ مُكَذِّبِ الْأَوْلِيَا, is that it also relates to those who treat the awliya in the same way. لِنْهُمْ خُلَفَ الْأَنْبِيَا, because they are the inheritors, they are the representatives of the prophets. Illa, except there's a difference. أن أقوبة مؤذي الأولياء تارة تكون ظاهرة, is that those that harm the أولياء, is that sometimes their punishment is outward. في الأبدان والأموال, it could be a physical ailment that they are afflicted with, or it could be in their wealth. وتارة باطنة, but sometimes their affliction is that internally. في قسوة القلب والتعويق عن صالح الأعمال, it could be like that they're afflicted with hardness of heart, or they're prevented from doing deeds of righteousness. أو وكسف نور الإيمان والإسلام, or that the light of their Iman and their Islam could be eclipsed. والبعد وسوء الختام, they could be distance and that have a that bad seal, نسأل السلام والعافية, which that having bad adab with the awliya is one of the great ways is that we can that bring about a su'ul khatima for ourselves. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Now someone might say, is that why do we even talk about these things? Because in my daily life, I don't ever really see the awliya, so I don't know that how am I even going to be in a position where that this even happens to me. That this is important for us to know, because is that we hear about different types of people all the time. And what's important is that if you don't understand something that's happening, unless it's something blatantly wrong in the religion, is that it's safer for you to have a good opinion. And what we need to know is to how to have a good opinion and when to have a good opinion. But unfortunately, we put things in the improper place at times. But the reality is that showing enmity towards one of the awliya of Allah, it's one of the two people that Allah wages war against. The one who deals with interest and the one who shows enmity towards one of his awliya. And there's different ways that this is done. But if someone does that, this is one of the quickest ways of all to be afflicted. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam wa afiyah. Whereas the foundational position we should all have is that we love the awliya. We should all have a love for the awliya. And that we are required through the Qur'an to believe that the awliya can have karamat, that they can have breakings of norms on their hands. Because this has come in the Qur'an. You're not required to believe a specific saintly miracle of a specific wali. But that the idea that the awliya can have karamat, you must believe in that. Right? Because we see in the Qur'an what happened to Sayyidatina Maryam. And that is a karama. Is the fact that she had fruits that out of season during the opposite season. And that the story of the Prophet Solomon, alayhi salam, and the one who brought him the throne of Bilqis, the sleepers of the cave, the Ashab al-Kahf, and remaining in the cave for that extended period of time, and so forth and so on, is that we know through the Qur'an that the awliya can have breakings of the norms happen at their hands. And this is why we have to understand that we put everything in its proper place in relation to our deen. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says in the 30th verse, Ya hasratan ala al-ibad, ma yatihi min rasulin illa kanu bihi yastahzi'un. Alas for the servants, whenever a messenger comes to them, they ridicule him. And this word alas in English is not a word we might know readily, but it does do a good job of conveying this meaning. Ya hasratan ala al-ibad. Alas. Alas in English is an expression of grief, an expression of pity or concern. And that's really what this expression in Arabic is about. Ya hasratan ala al-ibad. And the word hasra in Arabic is similar to the word nadam. Nadam, our Prophet said, and nadam and tawbah. That tawbah is repentance, meaning the essence of tawbah is about repenting and having that state whereby which that we have remorse. We have remorse for what it is that we did. So hasra is a type of remorse, but it's intense remorse. And it's remorse that comes to someone that based upon that something that they've done or something that they've missed. And as a result is that they have, and this is why it's linguistically related to the word hasir, which is to be wearied out and tired, is that they have experienced so much grief and remorse from something that they did or something that they missed, is that it has tired them out, is that they become hasir. So that it's this extreme grief, pity. And then if you see here that in the Arabic you're calling, that the ya here is what you use to call. So if you say, Ya Zafaru, Dr. Zafaru, that it's the word that the particle that I'd use to call you. If someone is on the other side of the room, Ya Abu Bakr, if he's on the other side of the room, if I'm calling Abu Bakr. And that here is that you don't normally think of calling hasra, which is, how are you going to call hasra, which is, again, this remorse or this intense remorse or grief. And it's a that way in Arabic of saying that it's as if they are saying by this that these things that don't have an intellect. It's as if you are speaking of it in a way where you're saying is that oh hasra that be present because now here it's your time. And so again, it's just a way of that indicating the state of grief and the state of intense remorse. Ya hasaratan alal ibad. And that the scholars have two opinions about who is actually saying this. Is this Allah Ta'ala saying this in relation to the servants, what will happen to them on the Day of Judgment as a result of their denying the believers, denying the messengers, or is it it's those who themselves have fallen into that? Are they the ones saying it as a result of their lack of belief? That both opinions that the scholars mention. And then, that what was the reason that they have this grief, and what it was the reason they have this intense remorse? مَا لِيَأْتِهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهَزِئُونَ. Whenever a messenger comes to them, they ridicule him. So, it's one thing not to believe, and that's a terrible thing, but it's another thing to ridicule. And that's very, very problematic. Allah Ta'ala says that فَاسْطَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمُرُ وَعَدِدْ أَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. That he addresses the Prophet, so proclaim openly what you've been commanded to say and ignore the polytheists. Inna kafaynaka al-mustahzi'een. Indeed, that we have sufficed you against all of those who ridicule you, who ridicule your message. And then Allah Ta'ala that further describes them. Alladhina yaj'aluna ma Allah ilan akhar fa sawfa ya'lamun. Who set up another god besides Allah, they will come to know. And then Allah Ta'ala brings solace to the Prophet ﷺ. We are well aware that your heart is weighed down by what they say. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُونْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. That glorify the praises of your Lord and be amongst those who prostrate. وَعْبُ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَتِيَقَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship your Lord until that death, certainty comes to you. And that's amazing. Because think about all of the people that are poking fun, mocking, ridiculing religious people, and especially the people that are Muslim. And this is happening all throughout the world. This is it's increasing in our time in general, but the Muslims are at the brunt of this more than other people, it seems to be the case. And that this is the Quranic response to how we're supposed to deal with these situations. And our Prophet was commanded to speak openly about what it is that this was the command that came to him, that was now the stage that started where he had to openly convey the da'wah. Because the first stage, he was commanded to do it secretly. And now he was commanded to do it openly. And just turn away, Allah says, from the mushrikeen. We have sufficed you from the mustahzi'een, the ridiculers, the mockers. And that Allah Himself will take care of that. Without you even having to do anything, without you even having to that make dua against them. And despite that, the Prophet had so much concern for his people, he wanted them to accept the message. And this is what happened to his sadr, which was as vast as it could possibly be. It was expansive as it could possibly be, but and the yadiqu sadruk is that your heart becomes weighed down. It becomes constricted, right? Because of what it is that they're saying. Not because of him in and of itself, just for him, but because that he realizes that they're denying what he brought, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? He is going to get their own selves in trouble. But what is the response then? What did Allah Ta'ala command the Prophet to do? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. And he directed him towards him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorify the praises of your Lord. Wakun min sajidin, and be from those who prostrate to him. Amazing. Is that preoccupy yourself with the worship of Allah. Focus on your submission to Allah. Prostrate before him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is our main response. Because sometimes people become so preoccupied with what other people are saying, they forget the whole purpose of life. They forget what it is that they're really supposed to be doing. You are going to be bothered by that. If you're not bothered by it, something's wrong with you. You are going to be bothered by it. But we can't let our being bothered by it cause us to only have an outward response where we're trying to eliminate the means of it. Do what you can outwardly. It's not denying either doing what you can outwardly. Do what you can outwardly. Take the means. However, the focus is to preoccupy ourselves in what we should be doing, which is worshiping our Lord, glorifying the praises of our Lord, in being from those who prostrate to him. And then look at the beauty. Not just, because this is early on. This is early on, after the Prophet received revelation. But from now until the day we die. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَتْيَقَ الْيَقِينَ. Here's the hatta, the heart of ghaya. Worship your Lord until certainty comes to you, i.e. death. Meaning, remain like that. No matter what anyone does, no matter what anyone says, no matter what it is that you face through all difficulties and through all adversity, turn to Allah, worship Allah, submit to Allah, establish your servitude to Him, and worship Him until the day that you meet Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And that is the way that we respond. And Allah Himself, إِنَّ كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ, Allah Ta'ala will take it upon Himself to deal with them. And the scholars differ about who those mustahzeen are. Some of them say is that they were the five, Al-Wali ibn al-Mughira, Al-Asi ibn Wa'il, Wa'adi ibn Qais, Wal-Aswad ibn Abd al-Muttalib, Wal-Aswad ibn Abdi Yaghuth. And that others say is that they were those that died in the Battle of Badr, like Abu Jahl and Utbah and Shayba and Umayyah bin Khalaf and Uqba. And that the first opinion is more correct because is that this was an early ayah. So it relates to those that he was sufficed to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the early Meccan period. And that there's narrations in the books that talk about certain punishments that each one received as a result of their ridiculing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is a very, very dangerous thing. And it's one thing, again, to just not believe, which again is not something that is desirable, but to go to the extent where you are poking fun and mocking, that is a very dangerous state to be in. And why is it so dangerous? Because that when you mock a messenger, it is as if that you are mocking the one who sent that messenger. And then finally, we will close with the ishara of Ibn Ajiba about this verse, is that he gives a spiritual meaning to it as well. Ya hasratan ala al-ibad, is that grief. Oh, what grief there is to the servants. مَا يَتِيرٍ مِنْ دَعِنْ يَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, is that no, that caller who's calling to Allah will come to them, who is calling them to that better their character. إِلَّا كَانَ بِيَسْتَهَزِيُونَ. So again, this applies as well to that later times. People that are calling to the deen, people are calling to a higher realization of the deen. And that if they don't respond to that call, is that it's likely that they're going to remain in their state of ignorance that veiled and not achieve their human potential. And so it applies at later times as well. And that these archetypes is that what we're being taught here in the Quran right now as we speak for those in our time is that we need to be very careful of these tendencies. And we need to guard our heart against these stories of the people who came before us and the traits that they had. And the purpose of this is not just so that we can that hear about people being destroyed previously. It's so you and I can learn the lesson It's not just so that we can that lambast previous communities that denied messages. It's so that you and I can save ourselves from having these same tendencies. And so when we read this and we learn about this, this is the number one thing that you and I must do, is to look at our own selves. What is my state of heart? Am I a person that makes fun of, pokes fun at, mocks, ridicules other people? We should never do that in general. And it's actually one of the maharam al-lisan. It's actually one of the sins of the tongue. And that we should that instill in our children from the earliest ages is that this is something that is inappropriate. Just because the way that someone looks, or the way that someone dresses, or the way that someone speaks, and all these types of things, is that you have to be very, very careful with this. Because if you do that in general, it's sinful. But if you do that with the wrong person, you might get tried. That there could be an elderly lady who just moved to the country in which you live that doesn't speak the language of the people that fluently. They could speak with an accent. And then you make fun of that person and they're from the awliya. And you know what? Boom! You're tried with something. And you messed with the wrong person. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. And that not have these lower qualities is that we want to have lofty qualities. Why are we being preoccupied with other people to begin with? That's the whole problem. We should be preoccupying ourselves with the remembrance of Allah. We should be preoccupying ourselves with high things. But if you're not going to attain the ma'ali al-umur, the lofty things, at least don't fall into the things that's going to that lead you to get yourself in trouble. Right? Let's at least just do things that are permissible. There's plenty of things that we can still do that are permissible if you're not going to have the aspiration to do the higher things. At least do the permissible. There's plenty of things that are permissible. Talk about a basketball game or some type of sports game or something like that. Just talk about something permissible. You don't have to talk about that fall into something that would be impermissible. But we should be people that are people of purpose, who are lofty, and that people don't realize how destructive these tendencies are. So this is there for you and I to implement and to bring in our lives. And we should really think about that, to what degree do we actually do this? And that's just what I mentioned now in general. But then, is that how do we view other people as well? How do we view other religious people? How do we view other teachers? How do we view that that people that we hear that they are very righteous? And that there's various degrees after that of seriousness of that poking fun, mocking, or ridiculing. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from these. And alhamdulillah that we've been given the Quran so that we can protect ourselves from it and so that we can learn what it is that we should be doing. May Allah Ta'ala preoccupy us with good. And may Allah Ta'ala that adorn our tongues with His remembrance. And may we constantly move from that which is good to that which is better until the day that we meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala that bless us to put this verse into practice. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَتَّقِيَ الْيَقِينَ. May we worship our Lord until we take our last breath, until we meet our Lord, until we die. Death which we are absolute certainty of, may we prepare for it. And may we all die with a kama husn khatima. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadan wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.